Good morning, everyone. We're glad to see all of you. We're happy to be able to gather on a beautiful morning here in the month of June. I'd like to invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be finishing the letter of Ephesians this morning. Before I do that, though, I want to mention something that is important for me as a person, and that is, as I think about this day, marks 50 years that I began preaching on this Sunday in June of 1969 in the little small town of Cayucas, California. And it's located right on the ocean. This is looking up Ocean Avenue in Cayucas. Back in about that time in 1970-69, and on the right of this would be the Pacific Ocean, about 100 yards from this street. So looking up this street about four blocks was the Church of Christ on the right hand side. And so on the first Sunday in June of 1969 was when I began preaching as a 20-year-old young guy that was just finished with my third year at Florida College, and they invited me to preach there for 3 months, but I ended up preaching for 3.5 years there and have been preaching ever since. So I just wanted to mention that. The people there were so good to me. They took me in and really took good care of me, so I am very blessed to have been able to have that opportunity given to me by the brethren there in Cayucas that summer. And it really, I have great memories, and a lot of those people are still there. Brent and Vicki Willie have come for two gospel meetings, and Brent is now preaching for the same congregation and serving as an elder, even though they have built a new building and they moved from Cayucas to Los Osos about, I guess about 25 years ago when they made that move, but it's really still the same congregation. Anyway, that's just a personal note, and I wanted to share that with you. So in our study of the book of Ephesians, we're going to continue this morning beginning with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And I'll read those verses again as he picks up in the middle of a thought here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Well, we see that the Apostle Paul here is still dealing with the spiritual struggle that we as Christians are engaged in as we live the Christian life here on earth. We are in a battle. We're in a spiritual struggle. And Paul was introducing that by talking about the Christian armor, the armor of God that we are to put on. And going back into verse 11 and 12, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual hosts of wickedness, principalities and powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. He went on to talk about that armor of God and the pieces of that armor, and emphasizing how we need to have all of those on at all times. We need to wear that armor, and we'll be protected. We will have the equipment that we need to resist Satan, to defeat Satan in our lives, and to stand and remain faithful to Christ, so that when Jesus comes again or at the end of this life, we will have been able to stand. But we need that armor of God on. And as he came down to verse 17, the last piece of that armor that he mentioned was, take up the sword of the Spirit, he said, which is the Word of God. And he continued right on into this thought that we are looking at now this morning, praying always with all prayer. So he's really completing the armor of God, the picture of that, telling us how we need to be praying as we use this armor. One way I think about this is that it's when we are praying that we put on the armor of God. We truly are wearing the armor of God when we are relying on God and depending on God, trusting in God, not our own strength. And there's no better time that we are able to do that than when we are praying. And so prayer is such a vital part of our walk with God and our spiritual warfare that we are to be engaged with. So he said that we are struggling and we are wrestling against the devil. In the King James Version, it says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness. We're reminded that wrestling is to be involved in a hand-to-hand battle in which the goal is to throw the other person to the ground, and in those days to then put your hand on their neck. So it was a life struggle. It was taking the other person out, taking the other person down. And we are in that type of struggle then in our battle with Satan and his spiritual hosts. And we need to be able to stand firm in that. I think too often today we miss that the purpose of prayer really is for us to be able to prevail against Satan in our life. It's not just a means of us going to God every time there's something that we need, and we ask God to please give us this thing or things which we need that sometimes many times might be more for our physical comforts. Prayer is designed for us as a spiritual victory that we can have with Satan. And so I think that is one reason that he is talking here about praying not according to the flesh, but in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, that we are depending upon God, that recognizing that the only way we are going to survive spiritually and prevail is through prayer. So prayer is our lifeline. It is how we communicate with God. And we see that Jesus was totally relying upon prayer. Think of the night that he was about to go to the cross. And what did he do? He went out to the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying in earnest with God for strength. That really is why we pray. It is essential to us to be able to help us remain faithful to God. So as we look at these verses here, we are reminded of this struggle that we have and how we are to use prayer in this. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Colossians, he also mentioned this struggle that we have. and that he had as an apostle, and that he labored and he struggled in prayer for those that he loved and cared about. He said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, going on down through chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, "So we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me." I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have known me personally. So Paul did have this struggle, and he went to God in prayer on behalf of his brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to realize how important prayer is, how vital prayer is in our lives. I want us to notice in these verses here, in verses 18 through 20, how that he uses the word "all" four different times. He says that we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So it is a very comprehensive praying that he is telling us we need to be praying. We need to be devoted in prayer. And we need to be doing all kinds of praying. And all the time we need to be praying. We're reminded by this that many of us, this is really telling us that we need to raise our prayer life to a higher level. Because many of us, we would be able to honestly say, I pray sometimes for some of the brethren, and I pray with some perseverance, and I pray some types of prayer often. But he is telling us we need to be praying always with all prayer and all perseverance for all the saints. So we would all have to admit, I believe, if we're truly being honest in our life, that there's a challenge being set for us here. There's a goal being set as a higher level. We all need to stretch out and realize how much we need to rely on God in prayer, more than we have ever learned to do. So, beginning, he says there that we need to pray at all times in the Spirit. And guided by the Spirit, in other words. So we realizing that even when we're praying, we need God's help. We need to ask God to help us pray as we need to. And when should we pray? When should we pray? That is the question. It says we need to pray at all times, everywhere and in every place at every time. Well, we see the Christians in the book of Acts were doing this. That in Acts chapter 2, when 3,000 there were baptized on the day of Pentecost, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayer. They were continuing steadfastly daily in prayer. It talked about them going up in the temple, the hour of prayer. And they spent daily a time with one another, and they were engaged in prayer throughout the day. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, it said that we should be continuing steadfastly in prayer. And in Colossians 4 and verse 2, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Prayer then is a lifestyle for each one of us as a Christian, as God designed it for it to be. And it's not just a moment in time when we have a quick prayer with God and we're on our way and we're in a hurry. So we need to have this as a priority and part of our life throughout the day. Every day, we need to be our mind centered on God and constantly communicating with our Heavenly Father, knowing that we can trust and draw close to Him and build a relationship where God wants us to be able to converse with Him and talk with Him about what's going on in our life and what our thoughts are, what our struggles, to take those things to Him and to look for His guidance and His direction in our life. Think about this. How many of us would want to see our children that if the only time they ever talked to you was when they needed something? You never have any conversation with your own children, except if they need to ask you for something. Don't you feel like that would be a sort of a dysfunctional relationship if that was to be true? How is it then that we can go for hours and maybe even days or weeks without praying to God? And then when we do talk to God, it's because we need something. And we go to Him for His help in that moment. Well, God is inviting us here to have a conversation with Him, telling us that we are in a battle. He understands that. We need His help. He's there to help us. And God delights in us coming to Him with our struggles. He loves that when His children come to Him and they rely upon Him. And they come into His presence for time that they can spend in prayer with God. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful picture it is that we have a God that wants to have that kind of a relation and invites us to have that kind of relationship where we come and talk with Him on a regular basis in prayer. Well, then he says we need to pray with all prayer. And that is kind of a strange way that he puts that here in verse 20 and 21 here at the end of the letter. He says, once again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So Paul is saying that we need praying with all prayer and supplication. Now, supplication is more of a specific. As I understand, prayer is a general term for praying to God. But supplication is more specific. That is urgent requests that we make with God. And so he is telling us here that we need to praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And we can take those urgent requests to God, in other words. God receives all kinds of prayers that we offer. And they're all acceptable. They're all good. When we come to Him, that's the thing. He wants us to use prayer and enjoy time we spend with Him. In Philippians 4 and verse 6 and 7, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. What is it that you need? What is it that you are struggling with in your life this morning? So we need to pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray and give thanks. We need to pray for our needs, for strength, for help. Whatever it is in your life that is on your mind, is on your heart, what's going on in your life, share that with God. Talk to Him about your life. He wants to hear from us. He loves it when we call upon Him and want Him to help us through each day. And that we are able to talk with God. And you know, to me, one of the amazing things is that God's people, we have the amazing ability to move God, to affect the outcome by the things that we go and ask God for. We can read in the Old Testament of people like Abraham going to God. And for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lord, if there are 10 righteous in the city, would you destroy the city? And God said, no, for 10 righteous, I would not destroy the city. And there are many other examples like that where we can go to God And God will hear our prayer, and He actually moves Him in that in response to how we have prayed. Amazing things. So there is nothing too small, nothing too trivial that we can go and discuss that with God. And then He says to pray with all perseverance. He uses the word there that we should also be alert, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That reminds us, I believe, that we need prayer to help us stay alert. That we have a tendency sometimes to drift off in our focus of our life. Prayer can help us remain focused and alert to what is going on in our life. In Jesus, in Luke 18, in verse 1, he understood this because He spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. That we all should pray and not lose heart. That we should not get discouraged and not give up. Remember when 9/11 happened a number of years ago? It's been now since that happened, 2001, but many of us remember how when that happened, everybody was focused on God. It was, you know, God bless America, God be with us, and then it just kind of drifted off after a while. That cooled off. We have a tendency, I believe, to that way in our prayer life with God. Sometimes we get very motivated, and we will be praying to God, and we will make that a priority. And then we see it begin to kind of drift away. And Karen and I, we have that same struggle. We will, and sometimes we will remind ourselves we need to get back focus on our praying together. And so we were praying yesterday morning, our little dog, Maggie, you know, she, when we sit down to pray together in the morning on the couch, she always wants to get in there with us. So she jumps up there in Karen's lap and gets very comfortable. Well, after we were praying yesterday morning, Karen kind of had a sheepish look on her face. He said, "You know, while you were praying there, I fell asleep." It's easy for us to do that. It's easy for us. And that doesn't mean that we are something bad if that happens. But Jesus is telling us that we need to pray with all perseverance. Sometimes it's easy for us to get into times that we aren't as focused as we need to be. And one thing that I think the reason for that is is because we sometimes when we pray, we feel like we receive an answer right away. But other times we feel like it doesn't happen immediately. We ask God for something that is on our mind and on our heart, and it doesn't seem like we can see that answer coming immediately. So if that were true, it would almost be like putting it in a microwave. You know, you pop it in the microwave, and 30 seconds later you take it out. That would be great. But prayer doesn't really work that way, I don't believe. And sometimes we pray and we cannot see that result just happening immediately. So we need perseverance. We need persistence. We need to realize that God heard our prayer. God is working out those things. He's going to work those things out in our life. But we need to be patient. We need to trust God. And we need to have confidence that put it in God's hands. And God is going to help us. He's there with us. But there's times in life that we go through discouragement, and we go through suffering and hardship, we need to continue praying and not give up, not get discouraged. So pray with all perseverance. And he says then, praying for all the saints. Praying for all the saints. So our prayers should be for all of God's family. All of the church, the kingdom of God, the local body of Christ, that we have one another, praying for one another, making requests of God on behalf of each other like we do. We try to do that in our worship time when we come together this morning, to pray for one another, especially those that we know have physical needs, special needs. We try to mention them by name. But it's good for us to realize, isn't it encouraging to you when you know that people are praying for you? To me, that is very encouraging. That's very reassuring. And I have a feeling that there are fellow Christians who are praying for us, for our family, for Karen and I. And we really appreciate those prayers. So we see here that Paul here does that. Paul prayed for his brethren daily, regularly. He mentions that in almost every letter that he wrote. In Philippians 1 and verse 4, he said, "Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy." And here in this passage that we're looking at this morning, he immediately asked them to be praying for him. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and for me," he said, "that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So the thing that Paul here is really wanting them to pray for him is not that he would be released from prison. He mentions that he is in prison. He is chained up to the Roman guards, I believe, is what his reference. But his prayer is that he would have boldness to speak God's word as an ambassador in chains. Imagine that, an ambassador of God, an ambassador of Christ in chains. Well, that was how he described himself here, that he was an ambassador for the government of the kingdom of heaven, representing to the Roman government, or here on earth. He is an ambassador of Christ, but he is in chains at that moment of time, praying that he might be able to speak boldly. "Just pray for me that I will have the courage to not ever back away from preaching and speaking openly the truth of the mystery of God, the mystery of the gospel." And what was the mystery of the gospel? It was that God brought the Gentiles and the Jews together in one body. That is His plan through the church, to bring people together in His body in Christ. Jew and Gentile, all people of all culture and all ethnicity, and bring us all together as one body in Christ. What a beautiful plan of God, that He wanted to speak boldly. So we need to pray that same prayer. And I ask you to pray for me that I would be able to speak boldly as I ought to speak. That His utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I think there was two things that Paul really desired them to pray for him. Number one is that when he would speak clearly, that they could be understood the word of God. And secondly, that he would speak boldly, and he would never back down, and he would never back away out of fear of the consequences to him. And it could have been easy for him to do that he would just kind of back away and not press home the truth of the gospel, maybe he could get out of prison a little sooner. But his prayer is that he would speak boldly as he ought to speak. Prayer then for Paul was praying all the time for all kinds of prayer, and praying with perseverance for all the saints, for all the family of God. And he closed the letter here by some personal matters that he would always do this in the end of his letters. And the first thing that he referred to was this brother in Christ, Tychicus, and he was sending him to the Ephesians and would bring them the news of how things were going with Paul. Well, as you read about here, this brother, Tychicus, we see here, I get the picture of Tychicus in my mind that it doesn't say that he was a preacher of the gospel. It doesn't say that he was an eloquent speaker or any of that. What it says is he is a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. He is a faithful brother in Christ. And Paul loved him. Paul considered him a beloved brother in the Lord. And he trusted him that, I believe what is implying here, that he was going to personally hand carry this letter and the Colossian letter and maybe the Philemon letter, maybe three letters of the New Testament, was going to personally carry those letters to those congregations. They didn't have the mail in those days that we did, and so Paul would give these copy of the letter, and that person, he trusted him to take it back to the Ephesians. And he said that he may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Paul loved his brethren, and that's why many times in writing the letters that Paul wrote, at the end of the letter, he sometimes goes through and names 10, 15, 20 people. We know that he was an apostle, but he had close relationships with his brothers and sisters, and he loved them, prayed for them on a daily basis. Finally, he has a closing words here in verses 23 and 24. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. It almost ends on the same point that it started the letter, grace and peace. And he turns it around a little bit, but he says, peace to the brethren, love with faith from God the Father, and grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus. You have grace and peace, you have love and faith. Those things really are the foundations of what we have in Christ. Grace, we are saved by the grace of God. He made that clear earlier in the letter in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Of course, we have to accept that grace. We have to render our obedience and our faith to Christ through our obedience to the gospel. And in that, we are to repent and we are to confess our faith in Christ, and we are to be baptized and buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. But it is because of what Christ did for us and what God has done for us that we are saved by the grace of God. And as a result, we have peace with God and peace with one another. Jew and Gentile, brother and sister, we have peace in a spiritual level with one another because of what Christ has done for us. And our life is to be lived in love for one another. And we are to continue to stand in our faith and even struggle and battle with Satan and put on the armor of God and struggle in prayer. And we will get through this life. And someday we will be able to stand with the Lord. he started out talking about we're dwelling in heavenly places. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ that we can possibly have. He ended up talking about down here on earth, though, we're in a battle. We're in a battle with Satan. We're in a battle with spiritual invisible hosts. And we need to take that very seriously if we are going to prevail. So thank you for your attention, your kind attention throughout this series. And as we close, we want to just say this, that all of these blessings, they're for those who are in Christ. And if you're not in Christ this morning, then we invite you to submit your life, to enter into the saving relationship with Jesus Christ that we can have through faith, through obedience to the gospel, through the grace of God. He invites us, he extends to us this invitation for us to come and accept the salvation, the grace, the forgiveness that he has, and enjoy these spiritual blessings together as fellow Christians. So if you are subject in any way, please come as we stand and sing together this morning.
I have resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's fear.